So raise your hands if you know who Casey Kasem is. I figured as such. If you're of a certain age, you know Casey Kasem as the radio DJ for American Top 40. And I recall Sunday nights hearing his voice on the radio, sharing the top hits of the week, and listeners calling in with those very sentimental long-distance dedications for loved ones who live far away. Or perhaps if you didn't know him from that, maybe younger kids know him as the voice of Shaggy in the beloved cartoon Scooby-Doo. His distinctive voice is forever ingrained in the American psyche. Casey Kasem died last month. Sadly and tragically, in his last months, family members were not at his bedside sharing loving memories, but instead they were in the courtrooms fighting over his end-of-life care wishes and who should be in charge of his care. Although his unique and recognizable voice will be remembered by all of us here in this room, his voice was not heard at all at the end. Because of dementia and illness, his own voice was silenced about what his wishes were for his end-of-life care, because he never voiced his wishes when he was able. Denial and lack of planning about end-of-life care decision-making can bring financial and emotional woes greater than you can ever imagine. Many of my patients come on to hospice with dementia or other illnesses that affect their decision-making abilities. Families and social workers scramble to activate healthcare power of attorney documents. But even when this happens, I can't count the number of times that I've talked with families who have no idea what their loved one's choices would be for end-of-life care. They admit that they've never had this kind of conversation with one another. Today, I hope to begin a conversation with you and help you to imagine. Imagine how you would like your end-of-life care to be. Imagine how you might start the conversation with your loved ones about how they might like their end-of-life care to be. A lot of us have aging parents. I feel that this is truly a sacred gift that we can give to one another. It's a gift of preparation. It's a gift of dignity. It's a gift of peace that can provide great relief to family and friends during a very difficult time. Talking about dying isn't easy. I know it's difficult. Yet studies show that people who are willing to begin this conversation, sharing their wishes when they're healthy, they're much more likely to be at peace at end of life. Families report less stress and more confidence in their decision-making for their loved ones at end of life if these conversations are had early. So go ahead, use me as a scapegoat. You could say, you know, I was at the fellowship Sunday and the minister was talking about end of life care planning. I think we should talk about this together. I want to be sure that we're all on the same page about what we want for care at the end of our lives. Go ahead, use me as an excuse. I don't mind. I knew a family that threw a huge party in their garage. They called it the demise of Ernie and Mavis. Now, their names have been changed, actually, but the parents, Ernie and Mavis, were starting to have some trouble living independently in their home. And their five kids knew they needed to sit down and have a conversation with them about what they should be doing. But they didn't know how to start it. Now, I'm not sure who got the idea for throwing a party in the garage. It seems this family had always celebrated in the garage for graduations and birthdays and anniversaries. Coming from Minnesota, I do not understand this practice. Why don't you let people into your homes? But in the garage it was. So they decorated the garage, they brought out photo albums and pictures and old memorabilia, and it was the kids and the families, and they sat around in the garage and they told stories about their parents and showed them how much they loved them. And then they began to ask them some hard questions about how they saw themselves living as they got less independent. Did they want to stay in their home? Would they be willing to move to a facility when things got difficult? When did they think they might have to give up their driving license? Who would they like to represent them in their healthcare decision making? Did they want life-saving interventions if their heart stopped? Some things were easy to answer, and other things the parents wanted to think about. But the conversation was started, and it was started when the parents were able to talk about this, and they were still healthy and of sound mind and body. One of the first questions you want to ask yourself or your loved one is, who do you want to make decisions for you when you can no longer speak for yourself? Now, this is a big responsibility. This person is called a healthcare power of attorney. This needs to be someone you can trust to make difficult decisions about your care. And sometimes family members are not the best choice because sometimes they're too emotional. Maybe they don't want to let you go. Or perhaps you have relationship issues that make it unreliable, or maybe you feel that they're not trustworthy. You know who is in your circle of loving. You know who will stand up for you. It's smart to pick, like Margaret said, someone who's fairly nearby as well, as they'll be called on when something occurs. Once you choose this person, talk with them and see if they're willing to be your representative when you can no longer speak for yourself. I had our secretary, Cindy, attach two different documents that Wisconsin accepts as legal designated healthcare power of attorney documents on our newsletter this week, and you can download those at home if you're interested. But there's also some hard copies out at the welcome table. I'd like you to take a look at those if you want. When filling out this document, it must be signed and then witnessed by two people who can be anybody, really, your neighbors, your friends. Just someone to say yes, they've witnessed that you've made this choice and you've created that document. But then copies of that document should be given to your representative, given to your doctor, and one kept with your file as well. Because as you said, Margaret, people move, they leave, they forget. And here's the other clincher that I find people forget. Okay, you've selected your healthcare power of attorney. You've had it witnessed. You've got the signed document. It's still not activated until two doctors say this person can no longer make their own decisions. And there's a good reason for this. The reason why is so that people can't take advantage of you and it protects your loved ones. But it becomes a little bit of a dance as your life is declining, as you are no longer able to make your own decisions. So family members, healthcare teams, and the patient themselves have to kind of do this little dance until they reach a point where they say, yes, it's time for some doctors to come in and make this decision. When those doctors make the decision, then the healthcare power of attorney is activated. And that's when the